taped from San Diego. It's whatever night you happen to be listening to this with Anthony Donovan,
Amy Meredith,
Durwood Murray,
and Joe Reese.
You see, this is the House of Pop Culture. Welcome, everybody.
That frightened me. I'm sorry.
This is our salute to the dynasty of television comedy that is...
Dynasty?
Saturday Night Live. SNL, you love it, you hate it. I know you're thinking about it. You got opinions. Everybody's got opinions. The show...
It's been on for almost 40 years.
Not 40.
I said almost 40 years.
37 is not almost 40. Leave a brother alone here. The show premiered the week after I was born on October 11th, 1975.
Old.
And you know...
Some life support.
You love it, you hate it.
I would agree with that.
Goes through good spots, goes through bad spots. It has its ups and downs. There's been tons of cast members, tons of guest hosts, tons of sketches, tons of recurring characters. We are going to be talking about it all tonight.
All?
Yes.
You say all?
All.
Oh my gosh.
All.
We are going to reenact every single sketch that has ever been
the
on Saturday Night Live.
The pressure, guys.
Okay. I play all the female roles.
So, all right, where do we start? Because this is one big iceberg.
You know, I think we should maybe start with cast members we enjoy. Yeah.
Favorites?
Well, because here's the thing is that when I started looking and trying to, you know, get my notes together because I'm a pro at this, I have realized that I really don't like SNL right now, and I haven't for quite some time.
It's hit or miss with me.
I actually enjoy it right about now. There have been very few times where I actually have not enjoyed it, honestly, ever since I've started watching it. But when I learned that we were going to be doing this special, what I decided to do was kind of build my fantasy cast.
And I think what
a fun game to play at home might be for those of you who intersect in the Venn diagram of SNL fans and fantasy football fans. Get your friends together and make a little, do a little draft day of your favorite SNL cast and see who wins.
You know,
that'd be fun to do.
I have a good list. I could probably put together my fantasy cast.
I have like 5 and 5.
I think I went with 12 member cast.
That's a good cast.
Okay. So my fantasy cast reads like this. I start first and foremost with my favorite of all time, Chris Farley. Always have love for the big man.
Meh.
If you're gonna have an SNL cast, you cannot have it without Phil Hartman.
Agreed.
Yeah. Phil Hartman's amazing. Eddie Murphy, of course. Gotta have some ladies in the cast. I go with Kristen Wiig and Jan Hooks. I want Dennis Miller doing my Weekend Update.
Of course.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I like Bill Hader because I think across the years he is the best impressionist they have had on their show. Mm. In all honesty,
Hartman.
Hartman's, don't
better
get me wrong.
Better than Dana Carvey?
Dana Carvey.
I think Hader can do more things than Dana. He can do more diverse things than Dana Carvey could.
Okay.
And honestly, if we look at what Dana Carvey didn't do impressions. Dana Carvey did caricatures.
All right.
You know?
That's
which
enough,
he,
yeah.
he was right, good right, at, but right. you know, I still like Hader better. Billy Crystal.
He would actually be in my
Bring in the ringer year.
Exactly, yeah. Well, we'll talk about that later, because I think there's two different ones you could actually call a ringer year, and there's some dispute. You need more than one black person, so I go with Kenan Thompson, along with Eddie Murphy there. I actually like Adam Sandler on SNL. Sorry.
Hmm.
My last two, Bill Murray.
Aye.
And one more lady, Tina Fey.
Meh.
That's my fantasy cast.
Mine, I used only SNL as criteria. I did not, because there are some people that did amazing stuff afterwards and were okay on SNL, but... You know, I just kind of did my top 5 men and top 5 women. I know it's going to come as a complete and utter shock to everyone that knows me. Top one is John Belushi. I know. Yeah.
I'm shocking. Shocked.
Who's John Belushi now?
This is the first time.
Jim Belushi. Well, he's Jim Belushi's brother.
Jim Belushi's brother.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I got you now. All right, yeah.
Of course. You know, and then I have Phil Hartman.
I don't think you can have an SNL cast without Phil Hartman.
I still remember the day when I found out that he died.
Mm-hmm. It was one of the saddest moments.
Because yeah. I mean, and Farley died shortly after, and it was one of, that was sad, but just saw it coming.
Yeah,
Hartman was just out of the blue, and he was like one of the nicest, sweetest.
Yeah,
but then I have Dana Carvey. I mean, when I first started really watching the show was early 90s, and he was, him and Hartman were the two in at that era. I have Eddie Murphy. Eddie Murphy was hilarious on the show.
Yeah.
Yeah, amazing.
And then my fifth guy, because it was tough, because there was a bunch of people that I would want to include, but I put Lovitz.
Okay. I love Lovitz. I love John SNL. Lovitz on SNL.
That's the ticket.
Yes. Like, and I mean, Hanukkah Harry is.
That was a great one.
On Heuschel. On Shlomo. Yeah. My woman, favorite woman of all time, Gilda.
Okay.
Gilda, yeah. I mean, she was hilarious. Man, her marrying Gene Wilder, man, that'd be some funny ass sex. wow. Yeah. Tina Fey. I think one of the best head writers that they've had, and
I would agree with that.
And Jan Hooks, yep. Also just from that early '90s. Then you know there's some because there's a bunch of other great women, but the other two are around the same time. It's weird because I actually have three women from more modern era, and my other two are Amy Poehler and Maya Rudolph.
Oh, Maya Rudolph! Big ups.
I mean, Amy Poehler and Tina Fey worked so great together. Mm-hmm. And
they do have great chemistry
with one another. And then Maya Rudolph can just do anything.
Like, that's absolutely true.
And
I'm kind of upset I didn't put her on my list now.
Meh. Yeah. Mine, Belushi, is right up there for
Jim?
Me. Yes, of course.
She's a legacy.
I know. Gilda Radner is also on mine. Dan Aykroyd would also...
I was heartbroken.
Dan Aykroyd was on mine. Eddie Murphy.
Yes.
Love. Billy Crystal was also... Phil Hartman, of course, Dana Carvey, Mike Myers would be on mine.
I debated mine.
Because Dana Carvey, that was really when I watched the show, was when were at the top. Dennis Miller, nobody
best
to me
update ever.
Did Weekend Update like Dennis Miller. Jan Hooks and Nora Dunn, both of them. Yeah. And, of course, John Lovitz.
Okay, if I were to assemble my dream SNL cast, we'll start with the fellas. It would have to include who is, in my estimation, the single greatest cast member in Saturday Night Live history, Phil Hartman.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, not only do I pay tribute to him now, I called him one of the best comedic actors alive when he was alive. I, like most of the world, did not wait till he was dead to heap praise upon him. But, yeah, he was the best.
Yeah.
I would also have to have Dennis Miller doing Weekend Update, although I gotta say, and this is a very unpopular opinion of mine, I fucking loved Norm Macdonald on Update.
I liked
him on Update.
I thought he was cheap and gratuitous.
I would have to include Dana Carvey, because I think he had a lot of really strong characters. I would also include Mike Myers.
I love Mike Myers is on mine.
I think he did some of the more impactful stuff over the years.
No, absolutely. I'll agree with that.
I would probably put Eddie Murphy or Billy Crystal on, but to me... I don't think they show, like Joe said, speaking specifically of SNL.
You're going Piscopo, aren't you?
Yeah, you know it. no, Charles Rocket, no. I would probably say my last guy space would be reserved for Lovitz.
Oh, yeah.
I have a very clear favorite period of SNL, and it is pretty much 88 through 92.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For the women, in my estimation, the greatest female performer ever on Saturday Night Live is Jan Hooks.
Which is odd because she didn't write.
She did not.
She didn't write at all.
And she was did so shit after good. SNL. Yeah.
I know we're going to talk about favorite sketches, and she was in just about all of mine.
Yeah.
Mm.
I would also have to include in that someone who has not been mentioned yet, who was always a favorite of mine, is Anna Gasteyer.
Oh.
Yeah, she was the late 90s.
Yeah.
I really liked a lot of what she did. And I hated that period of SNL, but there was a commercial I loved from that period of like around 2004 that cracked me up, and she was in it, and it was really hilarious. Next, I would probably include another cast member that wasn't mentioned, who doesn't get mentioned very much, but I find her to be very underrated. Ellen Cleghorn.
Yeah,
really?
I do.
I think she was a victim of not being. She didn't get enough to do on the show.
She didn't, but I think that she did do was good.
Hmm.
And I liked that, and I liked that they very carefully chose the moments where she would go over the top.
Her as Natalie Cole singing,
that was hilarious.
That sketch,
Unforgivable.
Yeah, her just being able to deadpan that thing.
That was awesome. I would also include Tina Fey. Probably put her a co-chair on Update because I liked her Update a lot.
Yeah.
And for the last one, I would probably begrudgingly say Kristen Wiig.
Not because I think she's brilliant,
but I think she's good enough that she's carried a lot of that show in recent years.
I would agree with that.
And there is some stuff that I will, because I make a joke about Saturday Night Live all the time, whenever a sketch hits, and you see it on Hulu and everybody's talking about it online, I always say, like most SNL sketches, it's way too long, and the only good thing in it is Kristen Wiig.
Hmm.
And the thing I, with Kristen Wiig, is I don't like, you know, her recurring characters. Like, because...
Right.
And that's not necessarily her fault. I think right now it's one of the things because a lot of the characters, it's just the same sketch over and over and over again.
Yeah.
But when they first... The first time you saw the sketches, they were pretty funny. And then, yeah, she's usually pretty good and great at impressions.
Now, one of the cast members that doesn't get a lot of love, but I almost put on my list, was Victoria Jackson.
That has been bitch can choke on my big fat gay nutsack. Go fuck yourself, Victoria Jackson.
I don't even know what that means. What happened? Did she, like, step on you or something?
No, she's not really down with the gays, and she's outward about
then
it.
Then I throw you overboard, Victoria Jackson.
She raised quite a stink on Twitter about the first kiss between Blaine and Kurt on Glee.
Victoria, why?
I debated putting...
In her defense, that show is awful.
Well, at that point, yes. But I almost put Jane Curtin on.
Jane Curtin was good.
And Aykroyd, and in all honesty, I debated Aykroyd. I debated most people from the original. I mean, Garrett Morris, Lorraine Newman.
I had a hard time, honestly, with my women, because not because I couldn't think of any. There have just been so many really good and also really underrated women on Saturday Night Live throughout the years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, we forget Julia Louis-Dreyfus started on SNL. Yeah. Mary Gross. Someone even like Robin Duke, who was so good at what she did, but is horrifically underrated. But then again, anybody who was on the cast when Eddie Murphy was, nobody remembers.
Yeah.
You know?
Except for Joe Piscopo.
Yeah,
but we remember Joe Piscopo because of what he did after, which was nothing.
Well, I remember Joe Piscopo because him and Eddie Murphy played so well together and played off each other so well.
And
they ran SNL.
Look, Piscopo's Sinatra was actually pretty decent. It was no Phil Hartman.
Yeah, I was about to say, it wasn't Phil
Hartman.
Like,
it was, I think there was like, you know, the SNL. Excuse me. There was an SNL through the years, and people were talking about it. It's like, Piscopo's was more the fun-loving, nice Sinatra, where
Hartman was psychotic.
Yeah. Yeah.
Piscopo's was a kiss-assy Sinatra. Piscopo's was as if Sinatra was watching him do Sinatra. Phil Hartman was as if he didn't care. And he just, again, it was a bit of a caricature, but it was hilarious.
You, cue ball.
Can we go to favorite sketches?
Go ahead. This is also my favorite as well.
It's one of mine.
Should I just list them off?
Talk about this one in particular.
This one, I think,
favorite SNL sketch, and I've said it before on this podcast, is not only my favorite SNL sketch, it may be my favorite comedy sketch ever. And that is the Sinatra Group.
That's on my list.
The roundtable discussion with Frank Sinatra, Billy Idol, Luther Campbell, Stephen Edie Gourmet,
Sinead O'Connor.
Cue ball.
I mean, just across the board, hilarious. I have never seen Jan Hooks break in a sketch until that one, and
she
that
was
the closest
so close.
She ever came.
She was so close to
that
breaking.
That was an exhibition of a convergence of great performance and great writing, along with good impressions mixed along with it.
And Ding, bringing it in.
Yeah.
Billy Idol.
A good host in there also. Yeah. I believe Robert Smigel is the one who wrote that one.
Yeah.
That would be a surprise.
Yeah.
Chris Rock was in it and he had three lines and they were hilarious.
Exactly.
But I don't have any talent. Yeah, no, that sketch, I mean, it's almost 20 years old. To this day.
Don't mess with me, Blondie. I got chunks of guys like you in my stool.
Yeah, no, it's amazing. It is amazing.
Yeah, no, I think that to me is my favorite sketch of all time.
And I can recite it word for word.
Yeah, no, it's brilliant.
So, but what is your favorite?
I don't know if I can say favorite, because I love that one so much, but I think if I don't choose that one, it's going to be the Christmas with the Sweeney Sisters.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one.
Nora Dunn and Jan
Hooks.
Hey,
you two, how about a medley?
Yes. I loved any of those. And what I didn't know, because I was looking stuff up, most of their things were written by Mark Shaman.
Really?
Yeah. I learned that
what
today.
What has he done since then?
Seriously. But the Christmas one with the bells I love that. I love it. I think it's great. But also the People's Court. Again, Jan Hooks and John Lovitz.
Oh, my God.
Rosanna Arquette is the host. Yep. Yes. That is a great one.
What exactly is it you do? Yes, Your Honor, I am a barfly. Fucking love Jan Hooks.
But, and, oh, yeah. And Lovitz as the devil. Oh, that's great. Oh, and
that Nora Dunn actually says one of my favorite lines ever in that, it is the opinion of this court that you're a boob.
Which we still quote to this day. Those two would be right up there with Sinatra.
What do you got, Joe?
Going off, because for the most part, like a lot of my favorites, you know, looking at especially like non-recurring characters, because sometimes all like the really good recurring characters kind of all meld in one. I have to go, my favorite sketch, though, is Farley and Swayze.
Oh, the Chippendales.
That's also
that,
mine.
That's a good that one. Is, bar that's none, good. That's one. Good.
I why, almost why, put Farley why on it? My... What?
Why is that sketch your favorite?
It, I'm interested it, just, that. I mean, the fact that it's played off like it's a plausible situation that there would be a competition between in his prime beautiful long flowing lock Swayze
ripped and shit
and Farley and in his probably close to his fattest
also in his prime
that dude can move.
I've always said that the key to comedy is commitment.
Yes,
is how far you're willing to go with that,
and then when it pans to Jan Hooks, Kevin Nealon, and Mike Myers at that table, just looking and nodding in approval at both of them, like this is going to be a tough decision.
Yeah,
no, that's.
And then when Kevin Nealon is saying, he's like, "Well, while you are grossly overweight and really a lot hard to look at, we had to go with so and so."
Yeah, I like you said, the commitment and the fearlessness. And that just, I don't give a damn what I look like. I'm going to do this.
Swayze was very brave.
But Farley just said, I'm going to do this. And that's I'm going to do it full out. Because
Farley did that so much. And that's why I almost put him on my list. And
That's why he was my favorite. It was just that fearlessness. And I don't know if you know this, but I'm a bit of a big guy myself.
What?
Yeah.
The hell so you say, Durwood.
I loved being able to see another big guy on there. With no limits.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It was never, you can't do this because of your size or whatever would have you. He would do whatever.
And
no questions asked.
It was a solid performance.
Yes.
He wasn't resting on the fact that he was a fat guy jiggling.
Exactly.
Yeah. Like, he went for it.
Exactly. Yeah.
Like,
exactly.
It's one of those things, I mean, and it's kind of one of my, although it's a recurring sketch, it's character, there's just one that is by far the best of it, is Matt Foley, motivational speaker, and it's the one with Christina Applegate,
the first one,
the first one that he gets spayed to break.
Yes.
Which, I mean, those two work together so much, and you never saw David Spade break.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that you see him just sitting there with his hand over his face because he is breaking is just awesome. Like, you know, when you had, like, Sandler on the show and Fallon, they broke, you know, at, you know, someone, you know, hiccuping or something. Whereas when you saw someone that never broke and they broke, it was awesome.
Yeah. Since Joe mentioned that one, I'll go to a couple of my backups. We got to mention Eddie Murphy and the celebrity hot tub. Doing his chamber,
too
James Brown impression. Oh, my Lord.
But him is Mr. Robinson's Neighborhood. Oh, that one.
No, that's a great one, too.
To me, that's the best of Eddie Murphy.
Then it's a which one? Is it the one where Mr. T busts in the door? Is it the one where he's doing the puppet show with Ronald Reagan and he makes it look like he's holding up his middle finger? I mean, there's so many of those, but just the celebrity hot tub is goddamn amazing.
It's so ridiculous, but so funny.
Yeah.
Or I'm Gumby, damn it.
On the subject of Eddie Murphy, my favorite Eddie Murphy sketch is one that's kind of obscure. It takes place at like a corporate event, and they hire this reggae band.
Oh my Lord, I thought I was the only one who saw that sketch.
Uh-huh, and Eddie Murphy plays the lead singer of this Rastafarian group, and it's like, kill all the white people, and it's, because he did a great Marley impression. And it was super funny.
It's like, oh my Lord, he's doing it. It's for this corporate event, and he's singing the song about how poor he grew up. Yeah. And there's one verse where he's like, me, I play the music. My dad, he dig a ditch. My mom, she do the laundry. Life sure was a bitch. But soon we guilty white people.
Why are you looking at me while you're doing that?
Well,
and then And then they all get, like, all the people start getting up and storming out. And then the dude who booked him apparently gets on the microphone and is like, I'm sorry, I thought they were going to sing Deo.
Yeah.
But that's okay. A great one.
We're also Buckwheat.
Are we still doing favorite
well,
sketches?
No, he's doing it. Buckwheat also.
Buckwheat sings is great. Yeah. I have on here another one. Yeah.
Tass.
I have another one on here that's one that's more modern. Sometime in the 90s, Joe, you know comic books. When did the death of Superman happen in the comic books?
Oh, that was probably 93-ish, I want to say.
SNL did a sketch where it was the funeral of Superman, and all the superheroes were coming in to, like, pay their respects and whatnot. And it was really subtle, and I think you got most of the jokes if you knew the comics and stuff like that. Like, the Green Lantern would walk in, and the guy receiving everybody was just like, "Hi, Green Arrow." I'm sorry, Green Lantern. Didn't mean to do that. But the funniest thing about it was when Sinbad was the host, and he came in as...
Sinbad hosted SNL?
Yeah, he did.
In the early 90s?
A really good episode, too. And he came in as Black Lightning, and... they're like, sorry, who are you?
Remember this.
Yeah, he's like, they're like, who are you? He's like, what do you mean, who am I? I'm Black Lightning. I was big in the 70s. Anyway, yeah. And then, nobody knows who he is. And there's some kind of, like, something happens. Like, I think Lex Luthor comes into the funeral or something like that. And nobody's looking. You just see Sinbad as Black Lightning in the back stealing shrimp. And putting it in the
awesome. I remember that sketch, not quite so well as you, but I remember it.
Yeah.
I was just kind of looking at my list here. Phil Hartman, who we all love. There were two great things that I loved about Phil Hartman. One of them was the anal retentive chef.
Oh, that was great.
Any of those, I don't care. Like, I know repeat sketches get a little tiresome. I never got tired of that. I could have watched him do that forever. The other one is Sprockets. Where Phil Hartman was dressed in, like, the girl mother.
I am Susan.
That, to me, is the genius of Phil Hartman.
That was
right
Jason
there.
Jason Priestley hosted that one.
Sprockets was always funny, but that with Phil Hartman dressed, like, yeah.
Okay, I have three I want to mention quickly. First off, on Phil Hartman, one of my favorite Phil Hartman sketches, and I know I will bring it to everyone's memory with a single word, sassy.
Oh, my Lord! Michael Keaton hosted?
I think so.
Yeah, I think,
we all know the sketch, and, like, just, it is such a thin joke.
Yeah.
Such a one-note joke, and it is fucking hilarious.
Sprickens is sassy.
I just stepped in a big pile of sassy. But anyway, so that was, and I truly believe that if Hartman were still alive, he'd be playing Tim Gunn in a sketch.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway,
yeah, absolutely.
Without a doubt.
My other favorite sketch is a really obscure one, and every time I bring it up, I seem to be the only one who remembers it. Does anybody remember the chapstick sketch?
Yes, absolutely.
Where
yeah.
someone wants to borrow someone's chapstick, and they're like, "Oh, I'm sorry, is it really great?" And they're like, no, it's fine. And then they start going through all these different scenarios, and all these other people walk up and start using chapstick, like aliens and hookers, and she puts it on her dog. And
because, some guy comes up to him and is like, "Hey, can I borrow your chapstick?" He's like, "Sure." And then he starts using it. He's like, "You know what? Go ahead and keep it." It's like, "What, because I used it?"
Yeah.
No. And so he gives it back to him, and everybody keeps on asking him to use a chapstick. Yeah, and it's like, you know.
Alien with big disgusting
alien,
lips.
Hookers. Somebody licks their, they put it on their dog, and they keep on handing it back to
chili.
Him. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so I love the chapstick sketch. Another of my favorites is kind of unique because it sprang from what was possibly one of the single worst episodes I've ever seen. It was awful, and it was in 1994, the musical guest was Janet Jackson, and the host was Heather Locklear.
I know where you're going with this one.
And they showed the requisite Melrose Place sketch, and it was a train wreck. It was difficult to watch. She didn't take her eyes off those cue cards, and it was just
only
like...
Only walking can do
oh,
that.
Yeah, you bitch. It was horrible, and I'm just like, why am I watching this shit? And then they came back from commercial and did the infomercial sketch, where Heather Locklear is talking about... It was a pasta maker, right? And she starts saying all of this racist stuff.
Yeah.
It is one of the best sketches I've ever seen, where she's just like,
I've forgotten about that.
A deal anywhere as good as a lie, like the Holocaust. And you see the phone lines light up behind her. And it is one of my absolute favorite sketches.
I'll throw this one out to you guys. Celebrity Jeopardy.
Oh, wow. Those are always great.
Yeah.
I like it. There are a lot of times when Saturday Night Live takes advantage of... just throwing a bunch of impressions in a sketch.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's meh, and a lot, and, but sometimes it's like
the
nice.
Sinatra duets sketch.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But that Celebrity Jeopardy is one of those where it was always really nice.
Well, who always played Burt Reynolds?
That was Norm MacDonald.
Oh my god.
Oh, his Burt Reynolds is
his
dead
Burt
on.
Burt Reynolds with who is it that plays Trebek?
Will Ferrell.
Yeah, the two of them. Yeah,
and then the Connery,
and I don't even
Connery.
Like Will Ferrell. Yeah. Oh, and the ones with Sean Connery. Yeah,
yeah, yeah, absolutely. Those are always great.
One that mine of like my non recurring that has music because I had James Brown's Celebrity Hot Tub and Sinatra Group was a Dana Carvey sketch where he played a musician, you know, and he went to and he had a new song. Sigourney Weaver was the host, and it was Sigourney Weaver, Phil Hartman, and was it Nora Dunn, I want to say?
Yes, like it was Nora Dunn.
Were the three musicians. He's like, oh, but I had this new song. And he just starts playing the piano. He's like, and it's like, the cold is ice. And then he goes, chopping broccoli. And the whole chopping broccoli one that he just keeps going on.
I've never seen that.
Oh, and because it's he's obviously making up as he goes. Because he starts going, dun, dun, and then it's, and they're just like, again, just, they're looking at him intently like this is brilliance. And it's like, he's talking about, he's like, if I didn't know her, she'd be the lady I didn't know.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's, he would do it in his stand-up later on, but it was.
I think in keeping with the sketches, I think it's only fair, since we're talking about our favorite sketches, I think just as strong tend to be the commercials.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
And I will start this one off. One of my favorites off the top of my head is a commercial, again, from my favorite period in SNL history, and it was the Obsession commercial for the cleaning, Jan Hooks plays this completely OCD woman, and it's done in the style of those late 80s Obsession commercials.
Yep. Yes.
Love it.
Wasn't it Compulsion?
Compulsion. Yeah. That was the name of it.
Yeah, because the actual Calvin Klein was Obsession.
Yeah. But that would be mine.
And my other, I mentioned Anna Gasteyer being in a sketch. It was in 2004 when Jennifer Aniston was the host. They did a collection, a CD of country songs. And it was all these female country singers singing these, of course, ridiculous, you know, get out of here before I kill you and this. It's a very funny sketch, and I very much enjoy it. And yeah,
if we're talking about commercials, I've got two off the top of my head. One of them is Schmidt's Gay.
I love that.
I knew somebody was going to bring that one up.
Farley and Sandler. It was a parody of those beer commercials where, you know, all of a sudden hot chicks appear, but this one it's hot dudes, four dudes. So yeah, that was a great voiceover by Phil Hartman there. And also, I don't know how you would title this one, but it was an advertisement for like a CD set of two Latin singers who were like rivals, and it was Patrick Swayze hosting, and he and Dana Carvey were like singing back and forth to each other, and like one of them would sing like I get one ton of fan mail, one, then the next one would sing I get two tons of fan mail, right, and stuff, and they're singing back and forth until it gets to the point where one of them was saying like he stuffs his trousers,
which is funny because that's kind of similar to the country singers.
Yeah.
I have to say, hands down, favorite commercial all time, Crystal Gravy.
Oh yeah.
Because that is one of the most disgusting things. And having them
right now.
And it just looked like someone pouring hair gel and they're just enjoying on like fried chicken. And it was disgusting.
That was a great commercial. Oh. And I also like Busy Lady, the razor commercial, which nobody remembers but me.
I remember that one.
It was really funny.
Oh, big ups to Bass-O-Matic also.
Yes, Bass-O-Matic was one of my... Yeah, we're just throwing a whole fish into a blender.
Yeah.
I don't think we can talk about SNL without talking about the church lady.
Oh, good call. That was like Dana Carvey just kind of...
That was one of my favorite
going
characters.
Off,
of course,
honestly.
The best on that, and again, I believe it's Jan Hooks playing Tammy Faye.
Oh, yeah.
I just don't think you get better than that, where she's the crying and the makeup and the... Again,
actually, my favorite one of those was when John Goodman was the host and came on to play the church lady's mother. It was like just dressed just like him.
Yeah,
and they come in, him and the church lady tag team wrestle Saddam Hussein.
Yes,
and kick his ass. I love that.
I like the one where Fred Savage was the host and
oh, yeah.
the little
he
mini
played
me.
Her niece. And she was just like, sure. And Enid here is just a little boy in a dress.
Also, too, Mike Myers, I think you have to talk about Coffee Talk and Wayne's World.
Wayne's World, yeah. Well, Wayne's World changed my life.
Okay, so here's how stupid I am. I was watching Coffee Talk this one time where Madonna was on unannounced, and I couldn't figure out who it was. And I'm like the world's biggest Madonna fan. And then Barbara Streisand shows up at the end, and that was
Roseanne.
Probably,
Roseanne Barr.
Roseanne played her mother. That was probably my favorite Coffee Talk sketch.
And I, to this day, I always say, you know, all right, talk amongst yourselves. Here's a topic. Cold War. Neither cold nor war. Discuss. Mm-hmm.
I can actually remember Coffee Talk was always hosted by Linda Richmond.
Right.
The first time was Paul Baldwin.
First time was Paul Baldwin. And I remember actually he Mike Myers did it not in drag. He did it as a dude.
Yeah.
As Paul Baldwin. And then, but the next time he did it, it was like
boring as shit.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It was. It was really boring. But for some reason, they did it again, except he was in drag this time. As Linda Richmond, he was always talking about Paul Baldwin would be back next time.
Wayne's World, too. Yeah.
Wayne's World, of course. Was there ever a bad Wayne's World sketch?
I don't think so.
I loved when they did, you know, the top 10 list, you know, like the fall of the Soviet Union, or when, like, when Tom Hanks was the host and he was the roadie, and, like, you know, and then Aerosmith is in my nook.
Yeah.
And I have to say, probably the second best SNL spinoff movie was Wayne's World.
I'll agree with that. Yeah. Best being Stewart Saves His Family.
It's Pat.
Oh, Jesus.
Blues Brothers. Yeah.
Well, and here's the thing. Largely, we're well into this podcast, and it's been a love fest, but let's keep it on the rail. SNL, I think it's very safe to say that many of us have a love-hate relationship with it.
Yeah.
It's been around too long for it not to have its low points. So I want to discuss what, in each of y'all's estimation, was the low point.
There have been two distinct valleys for me. The first one, of course, and I think it'll be hard to disagree with this, was it was after the last of the original cast left. So we're talking about from 80 till about 83-ish.
Yeah, when Murphy came on.
It was before Murphy really started. He was about 18, 19 at the time. But even he was just a featured player for like one season before he's actually full player.
Yeah.
But this is when they had Piscopo, but we're talking about a cast with like Charles Rocket, Denny Dillon,
Tim Kazurinsky.
No, before him.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Charles Rocket, Denny Dillon, Gilbert Gottfried was on the cast, actually. I think this lasted like a season.
I think they relied a lot on Al Franken, you know, when he wasn't a... They brought him in more when it's like, well, yeah, you're writing, but here, come on in, just because we need people.
Yeah, I remember seeing reruns of that, and it was just nothing funny at all.
That was the first low point.
But then, you know, they discovered Eddie Murphy, they brought in a new cast, and things started going back uphill. And then you move into what you call the Ringer season, where we have, like, Martin Short, Billy Crystal, Christopher Guest and Harry Shearer. Michael McKean came later.
No, they're all in the same time because they did the the Folksman.
Okay.
That later went on to be A Mighty Wind.
Okay. Yeah.
He came back later on.
Now, but that leads us into what I actually call the Ringer season, where they had a whole new cast turnover. And that this was the first cast that had Lovitz, Miller, and Nora Dunn.
Mm-hmm.
But we also had Randy Quaid, Joan Cusack, Robert Downey, not Junior. It was Robert Downey
Jr. Anthony Michael Hall?
And Anthony Michael Hall, yeah. After, you know, after the Brat Pack movies and stuff like that. And they brought in all these people.
Anthony Michael Hall, still the youngest cast member in SNL history.
Correct, yeah. But yeah, I believe that was after like Johnny B. Goode.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And so like it was a bunch of people that had names already in Hollywood, but they came on SNL and just flat out sucked.
Well, yeah. And that's the, I refer kind of that period, that transition, while there were, you know, newer people, but then kind of from the Crystal Martin short years, because they were well known and really big. And then you would go at, the Anthony Michael Hall, Robert Downey that were known, but weren't as huge as Billy Crystal and Martin Short, and they kind of came in and weren't great. But, you know, it was kind of those couple years until they left, and then you had your Nora Dunn and all of them that then transitioned.
Actually, Damon Wayans was actually a featured member on that cast, a featured player on that cast.
Yeah, then he
got fired.
The one part for me, I'd probably say the first one, there have been valleys, multiple valleys for me too. I think the first one where I literally was just like, yeah, I gotta jump ship, was that 94 season where Janine Garofalo and Chris Elliott joined the cast. And,
Oh my lord, that was sad.
That was really bad. And I was a big Janine Garofalo fan, and I was excited to see that. And
but it's like she wasn't even trying.
And it was just bad. And that's when I was like, all right, SNL, I can't. I gotta tap out. And so I stopped watching it for a few years. And then right after that is when they had the turnover where you had Sherry O'Terry and
Chris Kattan, Will Ferrell Molly come Shannon, on board and this kind of thing, Dyer.
Molly Shannon. And I would watch it here and there. And then, you know, I haven't really watched it for the last couple of years because every time I do, I'm disappointed. And what I find now, as Joe has often said, they bring back recurring characters that don't need to be recurred.
And it's a lot of... there was that... I remember, like, the late 90s, early 2000s. It was one of those things... I remember when they first started out, I wasn't a big fan. But then going back and seeing stuff from that time period, I was like, all right, no, this was good. I think I just wasn't watching. I was in the right frame of mind. Because, I mean, there are some people on that I'm like, all right, I'm hit or miss with them in general. Like, Will Ferrell's one for me. That it depends... If he's too... After Anchorman... When he was too much of that character, I'm not a big Will Ferrell fan.
Yeah.
But he's done lots of stuff since then that where he's not too Will Ferrell-y. But on the show, he could do, like, especially around 2000, I think, when they were doing the debates when he was W, and then you had, as Gore, oh crap.
Daryl Hammond.
Daryl Hammond as. So, you, when you had those debates, and that's usually whenever you get the, good, resurgence is every 4 years during
when election time.
Yeah. There was another sketch we didn't even mention.
Bush Dukakis debate.
Yes, with Dana Carvey and John.
And Jan Hooks playing Diane and Sawyer.
Yeah.
And or John Lovitz. I still love the Carvey Hartman the three-way debate. Clinton Bush Gore debate.
I got to be honest. Even though there have been valleys and whatnot, I've never stopped watching SNL.
Which is good because I rely on you to tell me what's good.
Yeah.
And we have, you know, nowadays I think it's what I've seen in recent years. It's less that there are super funny sketches, but for me there have been sketches that the first time I watch them I'm like, and then I go back to them and they kind of get funnier. There are two that come to mind, and the first one is one that you showed me that you were completely obsessed with. It was Kenan Thompson's sketch, What Up With That?
Oh my God.
Still love the first time they did it. The first time you showed me that, I was just like, that's not funny. And then I started thinking about it.
12:40 AM sketch, you know, the first time.
And then I went back and then it became funnier. And then of course, like all things on SNL, they ran it into the ground.
I love it every time. The
first time I remember it was a 12:40 sketch and it was just so bizarre. Yes. So like early on, like, you know, kind of had a little bit of a early nineties sort of thing, but then it also had like original cast. But it also got sort of this weird, like, Python-esque quality to it. And Jason Sudeikis in this Jufro thing going on, doing, like, the running man in this white tracksuit. And it was just like, what the fuck is going on?
What I love about that sketch is its basis is so simple. It's a talk show where the host never gets to talk. Yeah. He never gets to talk to the people he's supposed to talk to. He just sings the theme song to the point where he runs out of time. That's simple enough. Yeah. But they take it to the point and make it so outrageous and over the top and ridiculous. That to me, it just keeps getting funnier and funnier and funnier.
The other sketch that I was going to bring up is Liza Minnelli tries to turn off a lamp. And that was a sketch with Kristen Wiig as Liza Minnelli and Jonah Hill.
Oh, okay.
As Randy Newman, trying to get her to leave the house to go to the premiere of Cats in 1982. And like... It was one of those things where I watched it, I'm like, this is not funny, but then I kind of started quoting it in my head, and she's just, you know, of course, this ridiculous Liza Minnelli, well, I gotta find the clinker, and this kind of thing of Kristen Wiig chewing up the scenery as she is wont to do, and now that I've watched it a couple dozen times later, it's one of my favorites.
The one thing recently, in the last few years, that generally is pretty reliable, occasionally there are ones that, you know, fall flat, but it's usually the digital short.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things that you, especially, you know, Lonely Island, mm-hmm. when, you know, I remember Captain Jack Sparrow is, you know, I'll still get that stuck in my head and all the different stuff with Timberlake. And I always love those.
They kind of changed the way that SNL got viewed.
Yeah,
because when Lazy Sunday, that was their first one that came out, everybody was going to YouTube with that shit, and everybody was seeing it, and a lot of people were discovering Saturday Night Live for the first time through that.
Mm-hmm.
And from there, that's when SNL figured out that, oh, we can put some of these things online.
We can reach younger people.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Let's talk about hosts. Who's your favorite host, guys?
One recently that I really, really enjoyed was Gabourey Sidibe.
Oh, she was good.
I really like that one. But my favorite, the first one that sprang to mind, was actually not too long ago, Betty White.
Oh, that's a good one.
Betty White's good.
John Goodman.
See, yeah, you know, you have your, you know, lifers that, you know, basically, you know, you
Alec Baldwin.
Baldwin, yeah. Goodman, Steve Martin,
Tom Hanks.
You know, people that have done
Kevin Spacey also.
Spacey's episode is one of the best.
Oh, that was a great one.
When he does
Jordan. Kidding.
The Spacey one when they do, because it was right when they were re-releasing Star Wars, and they did the screen test.
Yeah.
And, you know, he did Mathau as Obi-Wan and Lemon as...
Spacey is a great impressionist.
Yeah. Yo, he is great.
Yeah, well, speaking of which then, my favorite host, I love John Hamm. He's one of those that can mix it up with the impressions also. Yeah. They did a screen test for Back to the Future, and he's doing Robin Williams auditioning. There.
Nice.
He does a great one.
Nice.
And also, I'm going to go ahead and say it. I love Justin Timberlake when he hosts.
Timberlake is a great host.
Him and John Hamm, to me, both seem like when they host the show, they act as if they could be cast members.
At the time, when you have your late 90s, early 2000s, someone that at that time I was pretty sick of, however, when he hosted, I actually really liked the episode, was Ben Affleck. Because he had no problem doing whatever. Because it's like if it involved making fun of himself or just completely degrading himself, he would do it.
Yeah.
I mean, he did that in his movies too, but that's a completely different story.
Totally different thing.
One of my favorite episodes ever was actually hosted by Cameron Diaz. It was, I want to say, oh God, this would have been late 90s.
Oh,
because it was right after the start. Yeah, it was right after the Star Report came out.
Mm.
And
oh,
it was
yeah.
the ladies' man reads the Star Report, and he brings in Cameron Diaz, who's like, you know, it's like, and reenacts stuff from the Star Report, which is hilarious. Then there's one sketch that is like a kid's TV show where it's...
Yes.
It's like understanding and caring and kindness and, you know, Tim Meadows... Again, a very vastly underrated cast member.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. He was the host, and it was like basically he was a conductor. And each of the people had the first letter of the word that they were, and it was U, C, and K.
Yeah.
And then like, let's bring in our friend, and then Cameron said, let's bring in our friend Friendship. And he comes up, and they keep trying to get in line, and then Tim was like, no. He goes we're experiencing technical difficulties. Just doing everything he can to...
So I pulled up some fun facts. We'll start with hosts. There have been a lot of sports hosts.
Yes.
Yeah.
Michael Jordan was horrible.
That should have been.
Peyton Manning was great. Eli Manning was horrible.
I'm not sure why Mr. T is in with the sports guys.
Because he hosted with Hulk Hogan right before the
Hulk
first
Hogan,
WrestleMania.
Yep, Hulk Hogan was on the list.
Didn't Tommy Lasorda host at one point?
Not that I'm aware of.
George Steinbrenner hosted.
George Steinbrenner
hosted. That's who I was thinking of.
Oh, and he had a great sketch where he was owning a hardware store. And he's like, what am I going to do? Fire the manager, then hire him back, then fire him again, then hire
Nancy
him back.
Nancy Kerrigan hosted?
Yep. Yeah, oh, I remember that. She won her silver medal. Silver, Nancy. Also, Walter Payton and Joe Montana hosted together.
Yep. They have Tony Danza listed in with the...
Sports. He was an amateur boxer.
Yeah, but he's hosted twice.
Actually, he was not in this sketch, but one of my favorite sketches on the show he hosted is called Big Time Professional Golf. Where you have like an announcer like from professional wrestling, but he's interviewing golfers, but they're behaving as professional wrestlers.
So they're yelling and screaming.
Exactly.
Like maniacs.
Yeah.
The oldest host,
who's Betty White.
Betty White. Or, yeah. She was 88 years old when she hosted. Also on that list, Milton Berle.
Oh. No.
He was 70 when he hosted in 1979.
Whoa.
Mick Jagger. Was 68 when he hosted in 2012.
Oh, God. When he's doing the Keith Richards impression, and Mike Myers is doing the Mick Jagger impression. Oh, it's hilarious.
One of my favorite hosts, who is also on the 65 and up list, Christopher Walken.
Oh, I love Walken.
I can't stand Walken hosting that show. I'm sorry.
I think it was the 25th anniversary. They did a special, and then people were asking, I think, Tom Hanks questions, and he's like, "Well, how do you do it?" It's like, "Well, you know, you try to learn your lines and blah blah blah, and you have the cue cards," and then Walken just stands there. It's like, "You know, they usually just let me say whatever I want."
Yeah.
The youngest host.
Macaulay Culkin. No, Drew Barrymore. Right after E.T.
She was 7 years old when she hosted, but Macaulay Culkin was next on the list.
I was going to say, and it was a sketch that, you know, after the first time it got old. However, when Macaulay Culkin was the, you know, making copies.
Oh, yeah.
But when they did the flashback to a young, with Macaulay Culkin playing that role, it was actually funny.
Jodie Foster hosted when she was 14.
Probably after Taxi Driver. Probably after Freaky Friday.
It was in 1976.
It would have been Taxi Driver, yeah.
I didn't know this. Malcolm Jamal Warner hosted. He was 16 years old when he hosted.
They did a sketch called, it was the Crosby Show, because it was right after the allegations of being Crosby beating his kids. And, yeah. It was pretty different. And he actually did the WAP during his monologue.
Nice. This was something I found interesting. It had a list of people who have hosted who actually auditioned for the show and didn't get on.
Steve Carell?
Steve Carell was on here. He actually auditioned and he lost the role to Will Ferrell.
Yeah.
Another one, Jennifer Aniston.
Auditioned for SNL?
Yep. She turned it down for Friends.
She turned it down? They wanted her on SNL?
Yeah, she turned it down to go to Friends.
She was on The State, wasn't she?
No, she was on The Edge. Julie Brown, that's right.
Jim Carrey.
Auditioned, really?
Auditioned,
and didn't get it.
Yep, in 1980. Mm-hmm. As well as John Goodman also auditioned in 1980 and didn't get it.
Interesting.
Gina Davis, also.
Well,
that would have been weird.
What are you going to cast her in? As a statue?
Lisa Kudrow also auditioned, and she lost to Julia Sweeney.
Interesting, okay.
They took her instead.
I'm surprised Lisa Kudrow didn't make it.
Johnny Knoxville auditioned in 1995.
Well, he's really not that talented.
But he actually turned the show down.
Oh, they wanted him?
I could
see him.
Well, think back to SNL in 95. Yeah, Slim Pickens.
Dane Cook. He lost to Will Fort.
Will Forte.
There you go.
That makes sense.
Dane Cook lost to him.
I think it
worked out best for the both of them.
You think
so? Yeah.
You had some interesting facts as well.
Yeah, I thought, and apparently this shows how far behind I am with my SNL research, I thought Tim Meadows was the longest running cast member. Nope.
No, Daryl Hammond,
14 seasons.
Yeah, the last couple, he just came in and did a couple impressions here. There were a couple impressions that he did, and that's all he did.
Yeah.
So he was maybe one or two sketches in an episode at most.
Yeah.
And I don't even think he was necessarily in every episode.
No.
And, it was kind of interesting that he was the longest running, cast member. And let me see, what else did I have?
Well, I also had some other hosts, political hosts. I found these kind of interesting. Ed Koch has actually hosted twice.
Yep.
How am I doing?
Jesse Jackson.
Yep. He hosted and actually did the Weekend Update
in 84.
He actually made an appearance on a show where he didn't host, also on Red, Green, Eggs, and Ham. During the
I remember
update.
That.
Yeah. Al Gore and Al Sharpton both have hosted.
Mm-hmm. So did, there was the one dude who ran for president. His platform was the flat tax.
Which, I've got Ralph Nader.
Forbes.
Yep, he's on here.
Man, all I remember is
Steve Forbes.
Yeah.
I don't remember if it was the episode that he hosted or if he just came on when Al Gore and they were doing a point-counterpoint. And I so wanted to hear, and he wouldn't do it, and Tina Fey jumped in to do it. Amy, you ignorant slut. You know, he wouldn't do it. I'm like, damn it, come on, Al Gore.
You know, there's one thing I think we really should hit. First of all, one complaint I always have about Saturday Night Live, that show does not need to be 90 minutes. I've said that for decades.
No. An hour is just fine, people.
What the hell else is NBC going to put in on that extra half hour?
Who cares?
Favorite musical performances.
Scissor Sisters.
Really?
For me?
Absolutely. The Scissor Sisters, when they did Take Your Mama, it was Colin Farrell hosting that show.
Because I love the Scissor Sisters. So
y'all got it. I mean, y'all know this about me. I'm not that big into live music. But they, I had never heard live music mixed so well before, and they had a bit of an eclectic sound too.
Yeah.
They had lead electric guitar, they had rhythm acoustic guitar, they had keys, main vocals and backup vocals, and a drummer, of course. And,
so they were a band.
And they, no, they were a real band, and they sounded so good. And that performance was, to me, just transfixing. And I'd heard the song once or twice. I watched that performance, and I was just like, oh my God, this is awesome.
2006, Prince unveiled the song Fury on SNL. Still one of the greatest performances I've ever seen.
Delight, Grooves in the Heart.
Nice. Oh,
that was good.
I don't remember that one.
Soul Man, Blues Brothers. I have to. I mean, it is one of like the defining moments.
What,
you know? What
Ashley Simpson's not your favorite?
Her and her little jig, you know,
doing her hoedown.
Well, I mean, or I mean, if you really want to, I mean, even before they were the Blues Brothers, when they did basically they performed, and but they were in bee costumes and sang King Bee, and yeah, it was anything, you know, when Belushi performed and something, you know, the old stuff, but
lovely. No, I think this was good. I think we did.
And one thing I hate nowadays.
Did we miss anything?
Well, one thing I hate nowadays is, you know, because back in the day, you know, the last, you know, from like, you know, the 70s through the mid 90s, even the late 90s, you would have a lot of musical guests, but you'd have people that were normally musicians that would host, but deservedly could have been a host, but also weren't the musical guests. It was very rare that that happened.
Right.
Yeah.
And nowadays, they
Madonna
just...
Madonna in 1985.
Yeah, and nowadays, they just throw it out like, oh, this, the musical guest and the, you know, host. It's like, why
that's
the fuck?
That's hard
it's
to
like,
do.
And no offense, why the, you know, it's like, at the time, why the fuck is Britney Spears hosting, you know? And
yeah.
You know,
well, because she was huge. She was a pop culture phenomenon at
where
the time.
You could, where,
same thing what, with MC Hammer when he did it.
One of my
although
favorite...
Although I liked his Will Chamberlain.
One of my favorite host and... Because usually sometimes the host and the musical guest... pairings are sometimes very interesting to see. And one of my favorites was Harvey Keitel and Madonna.
Mm-hmm.
Because
oh, yeah.
his opening monologue
oh,
where he was talking about how it's like, there were so many, I had so many fans, and, you know, they were just, and they were so respectful of me. They didn't bother me as I came in.
Had no idea I had such a big gay
following.
Following,
you know, and you know that they were wearing their underwear on the outside. It was, and it was, yeah, I love Harvey Keitel, and that was a great...
Derwood, did we miss anything?
A sketch that I should mention, Jackie Rogers Jr.'s $1,000 jackpot wad. I couldn't possibly explain it, so you just have to look it up.
The one that I didn't get to mention was John Lovett's Masterpiece Theater.
Oh, yeah. Acting!
The,
I also loved his Tales of Ribaldry.
Of Ribaldry.
I remember the one with Tom Hanks. That was great, yeah.
Three commercials that need to be mentioned. Little Chocolate Donuts, where Belushi as a triathlon that basically his workout is like, basically it's a cereal box and it's little mini chocolate donuts.
Yeah.
And Happy Fun Ball.
Happy Fun Ball
Happy
is
Fun
awesome.
Ball is great.
And then one of my favorite, it is horrible and it is just hilarious, Oops, I Crap My Pants.
That's a good one.
I did.
I also Bad Idea Jeans.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, that was a good one.
And Mom Jeans, Tina Fey.
And Three-Legged Jeans.
Yep, they did good clothing.
What I always liked that no one else liked with me was Toonsis the Cat.
I love Toonsis.
I actually did like that one, even though I think cats are evil.
And one of my favorite, it was, I think it was a Toonsis sketch when it was Carvey and Hartman doing Perot and Stockdale. And like...
Oh,
like,
where he's dropping them off.
Where am I?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, that was hilarious. All right, well, I am sure there's a million things we missed, and listeners are tearing their hair out right now.
How on earth could
we possibly not hit that? If we missed something, we want you to email us.
At thehouseofpopculture@gmail.com.
Email us or hit us up on Facebook. Tell us what we missed. If you liked what you heard here, you can get a dose of our funny every day on Twitter. You can follow us at popculturehouse. If you want to reach me and follow me, I'd love it if you did. My name is Anthony Donovan, and you can find me at Daboy, D-A-B-O-Y.
I'm Derwood Murray. You can catch me at Reggie Swing.
I'm at Crazed Dr. Scott.
And I'm at the_warden23.
So go ahead, follow us all, hit us up, let us know what we missed, what we shouldn't have included, all any of that. We want to hear from you. We want to thank sound engineer Joey and everybody at Don't Panic Woo-hoo! Studios. Yeah. We love you. And we will see you next time.
Ooh-wee. And much love to G.E. Smith.
What up with that? What up with that?